Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Landed in Juicebox Radio on CITR 101.9 FM. Maybe you're one of our online listeners at CITR.ca online live right now, or perhaps you missed the show and you're downloading a podcast at juiceboxradio.com. Any way that you came to listen to Juicebox tonight, I'm happy to have you. I'm by myself tonight. I think Val said that from the last show, so it's just going to be you and me tonight. A little bit of a conversation. I'm happy to have you join in on. If you are calling in, please do that at 604-822-2487. I will answer your calls because I'll be kind of lonely. So tonight's show is going to be all about kind of healthy sexuality in general. It's a bit of a continuation from the last time that Caroline and I were on the air talking about first times. But really, it's going to be strategies and pointers about getting more of the sex that you want in your life and sort of less of the sex that you don't want. So I like to call it healthy sexuality. And really, it's kind of sex ed for grown-ups, but it's for any age, really. And so one of the things that I find a common problem that a lot of people tell me they have is that a condom will fall off after they've been having intercourse, and it will come off inside of the body. So they'll come off inside the vagina or inside of the anus because people don't know how to take a condom off because a lot of times sex ed programs, they don't get to that part because they don't want to kind of talk about the penetration and the ejaculation part, and then they sort of don't get to the after. So when you're done with intercourse, anal or vaginal, take off the condom, sort of holding onto the penis, and or if you've got a dildo in or whatever you're doing, make sure that you hold on to the base of the penis and you sort of pull out away from the body that you've been inside. You knot the thing and then you throw it away. A lot of people think they can flush it. No, you can't flush it. Please do not flush condoms. They get sucked into the system and make all kinds of havoc. So they block things up like crazy because, of course, they're stretchy. And so they're really not a thing to flush. Put it into the garbage if you're embarrassed about it. I tell my young learners, just wrap it in toilet paper or something. And keep it from getting lost into the vagina. If it does get lost in the vagina or the anus, basically you kind of reach into your body and you feel for that circular ring or the ring end of the condom and you pinch it together right away and you pull it out carefully because you want to avoid spilling any of the semen. If that happens, you're going to have to make sure that you are aware that you do have an STI or a pregnancy risk to attend to right away and deal with that accordingly. So I think also finishing safely in that sort of category, I wanted to say that if both parties should actually pee after sex. So you should urinate after sex as a habit, especially women, because the vaginal opening is very close to the urinary tract opening, and bacteria can get into that opening and give you a urinary tract infection very, very easily. People are fighting them all the time. It's a common problem. And if you can, it can be easily avoided if you make it a habit to urinate, hopefully both before and after sexual intercourse, which means that you have to be drinking a lot of fluids, but hopefully you're doing that anyway. So that's kind of finishing safely. Wow. 5 minutes have gone by already. I'm such a good talker. And let me see. So let's talk about aftercare for a minute. You may find that after you have sex for the first time, because we're talking sort of first times, but we're also talking about people that are maybe doing it for the first few times with a new partner, you may feel really excited. There's a lot of different feelings that can come up. You know, you may feel very excited, you kind of feel glowy, or you might kind of feel overexposed, you might feel confused, you might feel upset that you have done what you've done with whomever. You might also feel somewhat underwhelmed. You might feel kind of disappointed. And it's entirely likely that you're going to feel a lot of kind of different things, just as you often do with other types of sex with somebody. Sort of the same is going to hold true for your partner. Same is going to hold true for you. You might feel a lot of different things. So basically what I recommend is that you give yourself what you need after sex and you ask your partner for what you need from them and for them to voice their own needs. You may want to snuggle, they may not. You may want to talk or you might want to just sort of go have lunch or take a walk together or whatever. But you may also want some time alone. I find a lot of men kind of tend to want to be kind of on their own after. They just sort of don't want to snuggle. They don't want to talk. So it's kind of up to each of you to find some way of negotiating that. But it's important that you communicate about it. And then sometimes after having intercourse, especially for the first time, it can kind of change your relationship, like temporarily. It can change your relationship permanently. I think I talked about this with Caroline on the last show, just that, you know, when you first have intercourse with somebody, for some reason, it can sort of flip things in their mind, in your mind, because both of you kind of have complex feelings. I mean, you're both humans, you have complex feelings about it. It's going to take some time to process them. So especially if it's your very first time, you often need to think about these things for yourself and just sort of take the time you need. And sometimes it's not the sex you expected, or you may have seen a different side of that person that you didn't think they were going to be, or that you're unfamiliar or uncertain about, and all of that's kind of okay, but it's really important to keep the channels of communication open and to talk to your partner about your feelings and to be a good listener, I think, really important when your partner talks to you. So if you do these things, even if the relationship changes in terms of what you are to one another, like you're all of a sudden sexual partners, you're all of a sudden boyfriend or girlfriend, or all of a sudden you're sex with benefits or whatever it is, if you keep the channels of communication open, you're going to keep the integrity of what you had and keep it good for both of you. So really important. And another thing that I think I got a really good take on recently was going to my high school reunion and remembering that I sort of was one of these big sluts in high school. And why was that? Why was that? You know, I kind of thought, well, you know, I know there's other girls that had a lot of sex too. And, you know, back in the late 80s, you know, women didn't talk about them these things as much. I think different today, you know, the adolescents of today tend to sort of talk a lot more about what they're up to and aren't ashamed of or shy about their sexual prowess or behaviors or activities. But back in my time, it was sort of, you know, still sort of a different world around being slutty or not, or, you know, reputation, this and that crap. So really, I think the warning I want to give to the young people listening to Juicebox is that who you tell about your experience is kind of important. And that's a good idea to tell people that you really trust, you know. If you've lost your virginity, for example, or I hate using that word, but I don't really know how else to explain it. If you have intercourse with somebody for the first time, penis, vagina, or intercourse, or the anal intercourse, if you're a homosexual male or whatever, basically you want to tell somebody important. I think it's important to communicate about these things. It's not, you know, you don't want to keep these things totally private. I think it's good to discuss this important milestones that might happen in your life. But it's a good idea not to tell the whole world. Because people make judgments about you based on partial information, right? And that can kind of come down bite you in the butt. So this is not the kind of thing I tell the young learners in the high schools. But if you are one of those young people listening to the show tonight, then you're getting an extra tidbit. All right. The other thing I want to talk about around first times and general sex stuff is reciprocity. Wait a minute, there's somebody calling, and hopefully the person calling is somebody we want to talk to. Thanks for calling. You're on Juicebox.
Oh, right on. I just arrived in Vancouver. I used to listen to a metal station out there.
Uh-huh.
What time does it come on?
I have no idea, my friend. You better go to CITR.ca and check out the different shows, and you can find out probably lots about metal shows and all that business on CITR.ca.
Okay, what frequency are you?
What frequency? 101.9 FM.
101.9?
Yep.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
I need an engineer. All right. I'm always like, yay, somebody's calling me because they love me. No, they're not. Anyway. All right. So reciprocity. We were talking about me and the mouse in my pocket. That's for you, Ren. An old, old, old boyfriend who used to always say we, and then he'd say me and the mouse in my pocket, and I never quite understood, but I just did it. So anyway. All right. So this reciprocity and sex thing, it's very interesting, this sort of power dynamic that goes on between people. I think the idea that one person gives you something so that the other person should get something of equal value is sort of, in sex, it's different than what you might be used to sort of doing in life in general. So we're going to talk about reciprocity for a minute. So with activities like sexual intercourse or dry humping or even kissing, where the same or similar parts are getting used and stimulated at the same time, we kind of assume reciprocity. We sort of assume that both parties are giving and getting the same thing. That in and of itself is a false assumption, because that doesn't mean that we're having the same experience, that our enjoyment in the activity is identical to that of our partner. So intercourse, dry humping, that kind of thing, making out, physical kind of manipulation with the hands, kissing, doesn't necessarily mean, or oral sex, for example, that people usually assume that one partner is giving, the other is getting, and that the giver and getter don't get to sort of both be giving and receiving unless they're doing the same activity or they're being performed upon at the same time. And this is assuming a lot. It assumes that some sexual activities, only one partner is sexually engaged or pleased. And that's a flawed idea, because even though our genitals are our pleasure center, that doesn't mean that it's the only part of the body or the mind that is getting sex. So you have to sort of think that during partnered sex activity, either partner feels that they're getting something out of it is sort of pretty equal satisfaction than something, things are going right. So at the same time, it's not going to be absolutely equal, but people do get a lot out, and you should be getting a lot out of giving. I think that's really important. As long as you're sort of having somewhat of a good time, a little bit of a really good time, and that you're what you're giving to your partner is something that you're enjoying because you get off on getting your partner off. I think this is sort of what reciprocity is about. I think it's really kind of important. I think if you're always giving your partner oral sex and you're not really getting kind of your own kind of pleasuring, that things are kind of needing to be communicated a little bit more fairly. I don't know if I'm making a lot of sense here, but really important that your partner isn't just being a selfish dope is basically what I'm talking about. So that does happen even to the best of us. We get into these patterns where we're kind of always giving pleasure to our partner, and you do get a lot out of the giving, hopefully, and that's something of a grown-up way of having sex is sort of, you know, learning to get a lot out of giving. That's a good thing. But if you're always giving, there's something wrong there. So check to make sure that you're sleeping with somebody that is also giving to you quite fairly, somebody that you really like, that you're attracted to, and that who you know likes you, including outside the bedroom, for example. Take stock of any sort of messed up messages that you might have internalized. For a lot of people, they kind of always giving, and they can't even enjoy themselves if they're not giving. For example, I know some people like that who have to kind of always be giving, or they can't even enjoy themselves. They can't even let go. And if somebody wants to just give to them, it's really hard for them to have an orgasm orally, for example, like myself and some other people I know. And so it's sort of like if you can't receive, there's some kind of internalized message that you've taken inside your mind, your heart, that you need to take some stock of and sort of look at what's going on there. Look for those trouble spots. Get some sexual counseling, which I'm not a counselor. People are always saying that. How do you like being a sex counselor? I'm like, I'm not a counselor. I don't know if I ever will be, but yeah, I like the educational part. So yeah, just double check with yourself to be sure that your partnered sex, not your masturbation sex, but that you and your partner are having some kind of sort of reciprocity, and that the strong desire that you have for each other is strong. Oh my God, such a confusing area. Listen to me, I can't even talk about it. All right, and then I think this kind of leads into what I was going to talk about, which is around sex and obligation. I think that when I was young, and again, sort of the first half of the show, I'm talking a little bit about first times and you know, how confused we can be when we're kind of negotiating sex for the first time with new partners, especially when you're kind of never have done it before and you're kind of starting out being a new sexual person, you know, partnered sex and that kind of thing with people, is that there's this obligation thing that seemed to happen. I know this happened to me when I was younger. It's like, you know, you felt like you owe people. And I just want people to know out there that nobody owes anyone any sex. We don't kind of lend and we don't borrow sex like we lend and borrow money or we lend and borrow our favorite sweaters. But plenty of people consider or engage in sex or certain sexual activities out of feelings of obligation or duty. And they've been taken out for a really nice dinner and suddenly you feel like you've got to give the person a blowjob. This is sort of what I'm talking about. And obligatory sex usually feels pretty crappy, emotionally, you know, physically at worst, sort of over time, especially if it becomes a habit. You know, when we're really not interested in partner sex at all, but we agree to it, it can even sometimes feel like rape. So when our partner is doing their homework in their heads during sex, rather than this is cute, rather than being fully present with us, or they're just saying yes to avoid an argument, it can feel pretty weird and it can create some unhealthy patterns. So, you know, for example, maybe your partner performed oral sex for you so that you feel that no matter what you want to do, you're obliged to perform a similar or understood to be equal activity. So maybe some manual sex. Either way, you've got to get each other off or something. So your boyfriend or your girlfriend is someone you feel that, you know, that you kind of like you owe it. Like I'd said on dates as well, a lot of times we feel like we owe it. So really, I want you to know out there that it's like, you don't, and it might seem really simple, but a lot of people come up to me, and when they're young, these young learners, and they're always saying, you know, like, well, you know, you did this, and then you did this, and I feel, or she, you know, I did this and that, and I just feel like I had to. So you don't. What else? You know what? There's this funding drive happening, and apparently I'm supposed to be playing something, and I kind of feel like I just need to take a quick little break. So here's a funding drive ad. It's coming up, and Caroline and I are going to be talking about that next week. So here's a little tidbit for you.
Heard about CATR's second annual funding drive? It's a great way to help out the station that keeps you posted on all the latest independent and underground local musical talent. Now's your chance to donate and keep us on air for another fantastic year of lyrical melodies.
Donations will go towards new equipment and regular upkeeping of our radness, which ultimately transcends back to you, the listeners, in form of sweet music.
Call our line between October 1st and the 14th and donate a piece of your heart
and wealth.
Note, your donations will get you some free CITR stuff.
Yeah!
That means t-shirts, hoodies, bags, CDs, a friend's card, and more.
Wow!
Reach us at 604-822-8648. Once again, that's 604-822-8648.
I totally love this radio station.
What the heck was that at the end? That sounded like my juice box ad that I used to play. I wonder if I still have that thing. Oh my gosh. You know what? I want to play a song for you that's from Regina Spektor. And this is, I'm going to play two songs for you in this hour. They're both sort of became my favorite songs since Burning Man. I first saw this woman on video, and her videos are just stunning. And I saw them on a huge screen from Open Air Cinema, who is run by Stuart, and he sort of was there at Burning Man doing the things, and then he played these videos, and then he gave me the CD. So here's the first of two. Enjoy.
Shook it up. I never loved nobody fully. Always one foot on the ground. And by protecting my heart truly, I got lost in the sounds I hear in my mind. Voices I hear in my mind, all of these words I hear in my mind, all of this music, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart, when it breaks my heart.
Words I hear in my
and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart. I hear in my mind all of these voices. I hear in my mind all of these words. I hear in my mind all of this music, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart, and it breaks my heart.
Regina Spektor, amazing songstress. I think she's from some place far away in Europe, Eastern Europe or something. I don't know what Stuart told me. I can't remember. I had to get him to send me the name of this artist because it's such a strange name. She's got an interesting name. She obviously didn't change it for anything. I'm not sure about the levels that we're playing at there, but they seemed a little bit high, so I hope it wasn't too crazy. I don't trust the board. All right, so, right.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I had to put that in, very important. All right, we were talking about healthy sexuality, and I'm going to be taking another break, by the way, because I just feel like it. I'm by myself and you're having to listen to my little voice for an hour, so probably good for it to be broken up a little bit more than usual. The show, that is, not me. Although that song is sort of all about me, and which is one of the reasons I love it so much, because I don't think I ever have in my heart, truly. I thought I had to Miles, but you know, beginning to think that maybe I was holding a little bit back there. I think I'm waiting for the one, you know, like so many of us are. And once I do, maybe I will give it completely. So, yes, healthy sexuality. We're going to be talking about that in the next, you know, the last third of the show, I think. I just want to sort of finish up a little bit about what I was talking about before the break, and that's this sort of obligation thing. I think when we get into a relationship, we start to think that we need to give our partner sex a certain amount of times and a certain amount of times of the week and what's healthy or not. And I think it's a good idea to sort of, once you're in a relationship where everything's really solid and you feel really good about it and, you know, there's not a lot of issues going on, which is probably about 50% of the time, you should be kind of thinking about having sex every night. I don't think that's really that unhealthy. And, you know, we could kind of maybe almost expect it. And that way, you're going to actually have probably a really healthy balance between what you give to each other. So, you know, you may not super be in the mood that one night, but you think, oh, well, I'm going to give my honey a little cuddle, a kiss, and maybe I'll give him a blowjob or her a little, you know, manual sex or just even a little breast attention or whatever, just some kind of sexual behavior that will connect you. I think it's really important every night. It doesn't always have to lead to anything, but I think it's important because otherwise you're just pretty much roommates who cuddle. So, you know, friends without the benefits. I think my cell phone's going off. Wow, that's, I could feel that all the way through the room here. So one of the things I do want to say, though, to people is that if it's been a few weeks since you've had sex and you're still not in the mood, I think it's important to start talking to each other. So to start sort of seeing why it is that you're not, you know, it's been 3 weeks. You just really don't feel like it. There might be relationship problems. There might be sexual problems, some stress, some depression. Whatever your low libido is, might be physiological, emotional, mental. But it is important to look at that, I think, as a rule, sort of every 2 to 3 weeks, if you're partnered, to sort of, if there's been no sexual contact between you whatsoever, I think that you kind of owe your partner some communication, some honesty, not necessarily sexual favors. I'm not saying that. You know, they owe you patience and understanding if you're in the situation where you don't have the libido. But it's important to kind of look at what's going on. And not kind of avoiding and shtupping kind of to get away from the discussion. So these are all signs that there's something happening that needs to be addressed in your relationship. It's a good rule to go by. I think, and also, if you're sexually active, or when you're sexually active, intercourse or otherwise, you need to get into the habit of tending to your sexual health. And this is something, you know, I just want to reiterate, very important, especially if you're sort of having, you know, sex with different partners, and or, you know, you're kind of changing your partner, and you need to make sure that you're attending to your sexual health, boys and girls. So make an appointment with your GP, make an appointment with your gynecologist, your oncologist, urologist if you're a boy, that kind of thing. Go to the clinic, get regularly tested for infections. All that stuff's really important. So you need to be using condoms. If you're not if you're having sex with people you haven't known for 3 months and they haven't been tested, you both haven't been tested kind of thing, and you're kind of not really sure what's going on, please use condoms, you guys. Please, 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 girls and boys. And regardless of your history or your partner's, you should be using them correctly. Talked about that at the beginning of the hour. They are actually really excellent birth control, but also as a good backup if you're using things like diaphragm, IUD, that kind of thing, or whatever. So condoms are your best friend. And I think just speaking to those people having sex for the first time, or learning about it for the first time, The Underground Guide to Teen Sexuality is really, really amazing by Michael Basso. Really good book. And then also The Guide to Getting It On. There's a fifth edition by Paul Jonads. Jonads, like gonads. Guide to Getting It On, a really good one, actually, for any age. And then also The Good Vibrations Guide to Sex, which is the most complete sexual manual that's pretty much ever been written. Kathy Winks and Semmons. I'm sorry, I'm so bad with these. This is my dad. I've got these bad jokes. It comes from my dad, a component, honestly. Puns, I think they're called, or something. Anyway, all right, so I think... do I want to get into the next bit yet? We're going to talk about the 10 best things you can do for your sexual self at any age. So I've got 10 tips for all of you people out there, anyone who's listening. But I think before I do that, I'm just going to play another song and take another little break, because I just feel like it. I feel like I just need to. So this one, again, is Regina Spektor, and she is singing a song I wish I knew the title of, but the lyrics are brilliant, and I love it. So I hope you enjoy it. And I'll be right back.
Shook it up.
Oh, that's the wrong one. I think we got that one already. We want to do the cute one. Is this it? Yes, here it is. Enjoy.
This is how it works. It feels a little worse than when we drove our hearse right through that screaming crowd, while laughing up a storm until we were just bone, until it got so warm that none of us could sleep, and all the styrofoam began to melt away. We tried to find some worms to aid in the decay, but none of them were home. Inside the catacomb, a million ancient bees began to sting our knees, while we were on our knees praying that disease would leave the ones we love and never come again. On the radio we heard November rain, that solo's real long, but it's a pretty song. We listened to it twice, 'cause the DJ was asleep. Bum, 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 bum. This is how it works. You're young until you're not. You love until you don't. You try until you can't. You laugh until you cry. You cry until you laugh. This is how it works. You peer inside yourself. You take the things you like, then try to love the things you took. And then you take that love you made and stick it into someone else's heart, pumping someone else's blood and walking arm in arm. You hope it don't get harmed, but even if it does, you just do it all again. And on the radio, you'll hear November rain. That solo's awful long, but it's a good refrain. You'll listen to it twice, 'cause the DJ is asleep on the radio. On the radio. On the radio. Uh-oh. On the radio. Uh-oh. On the radio. Uh-oh.
On Sunday, October 28, 2007, at 3 p.m., Kokoro Dance will present Heart, Mind, Spirit, and Soul. Critically acclaimed Kokoro Dance combines kinetic and visual elements from Japan and the West to create a uniquely Canadian Buto aesthetic. The company has produced over 900 performances and created more than 150 dance works that have been performed across Canada, in the United States, and in Europe. With Carolyn Chan and Holly Holt, this concert is presented as the second in our Sunday series of three dance and music performances entitled Stimulating the Senses, Music and Movement at MOA. That's Kokoro Dance performing Heart, Mind, Spirit and Soul on Sunday, October 28th at 3 p.m. For more information, please visit www.moa.ubc.ca.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Yes, you are back in the Juice Box. We are talking about healthy sexuality this week. Julia is all by herself. So, doing this show, it's interesting. It's nice because I'm kind of in a mellow space. I have my grad project due on Monday, so I either graduate, I either finish in 4 days, or I don't officially finish till the end of April, so a lot of pressure, you can understand, but I'm here. And that was Regina Spektor who was singing that last song, and you know, the Kokoro Dance PSA, I'm glad I found it, because I love them. I go to a lot of their performances, whatever I can afford to see, and of course went to their summer one, which is free by donation on Rec Beach every summer. It was their 14th year, I think, this year, or 15th. Anyway, I have a poster up in my, you know, bedroom I look at every day. Wanted to join, actually did do the dance performance. I went to a couple of dance classes and tried to learn how to do it, And then one of the actual leader guy, I can't remember his name right now, sorry everybody, but he had to go and do all these performances all over the world and couldn't actually teach the class, so then I didn't do it, and then I didn't end up doing it. So, bit of a sad story, but I still love to see them, and they are absolutely breathtaking. It's amazing what these humans can do. So, If you feel like calling in to talk to me, that would be great. 604-822-2487. That is 604-UBC-CITR. And you are listening to Juicebox, which is featured on Vancouver's CITR 101.9 FM. And tonight we are talking about healthy sexuality. It's sort of a sex ed show. Julia's favorite topic, what she does for a living. So I decided to produce the show tonight around the 10 best things that you can do for your sexual self, which is at any age. We are talking about sort of a whole range. First, I think if we look at our sexuality one way, it looks a million times simpler than it actually is. If we look at it another way, it appears a million times more complicated. And while it's important that we sort of bear everything in mind, we kind of need to, in terms of like, you know, we need to bear in mind in terms of disease, infection, contraceptive control, our relationships, our bodies, the whole works, you know, those are the bare bones. And then there's sort of, we have to keep those things essentially in the forefront of our minds. Very important, the human element. But it's also, you know, the physical element. But I think spiritually, emotionally, all these things are so complex. And I think one of the things that I really recommend for everybody, I don't know, especially women, but men too, depends on what kind of man you are, is choosing yourself as your first partner. And we hear a whole lot about who should be our first partner. Most of the time we're told it should be someone we love and who loves us back, someone who's sort of committed to us long term, perhaps even someone that we plan to spend the rest of our lives with, all this stuff that we're told. I kind of agree, because actually you, all by yourself, have all those qualities and more than any other person ever can have for yourself. And I know I'm always telling people, no one is ever going to get to know your body like you are, and no one is ever going to be able to get you off, to get to understand, unless you do it to begin with. So you actually have to masturbate. You have to learn how to masturbate in a way that totally pleasures you and that you can then communicate to your partners what it is that you like. Very powerful. So, like, really claiming and recognizing yourself as your first and foremost sex partner is really, really, really important, and I cannot stress it enough. Because it equips you with tools that you need for your healthy sexuality, for your balanced relationships, for the rest of your life, really. And the ability to determine when it's the right time for you to have solo sex, like when you're just plain horny, a lot of us sort of get into this partner thing because we're horny. And we have these sort of biological, physical needs, which is men and women, we both have them. And when it's the right time to take a partner, like when you're actually wanting deep intimacy with somebody, or whether you're, you know, able or not to account for this person's feelings and desires and things like that. So when it's right for you to take a partner, when it's right for you to masturbate and have some solo sex. So getting to know your own body, getting to know your sexual identity, very important, through self-evaluation, through masturbation, enables you to find out what you like, what you dislike physically, to sort of see and to feel what your genitals and the rest of your body are like in a healthy state, in a responsive state, and to discover how your individual response works. So exploring your orientation, exploring your gender identity, all this stuff goes through masturbation as you gauge your sexual expectations, as you gauge your fantasies that come into your mind, all of those things, you're going to learn a lot. So really, really, really important, people. I can't stress it enough. Masturbation is the safest sex you can have as well. So, hey. Number two, I think, for the 10 healthiest things that anyone can do for themselves sexually is to learn how to communicate about it. I know these things seem really simple, but they're not. You know, when you're sexually active, communication issues are usually the biggest hurdle. We tend to feel sort of really awkward or uncomfortable or unable to bring up issues, you know, whether it's from like birth control, safer sex, boundaries, satisfaction. Often it's a lot of times with satisfaction, dissatisfaction. We tend to have a huge problem talking about it. So, it could be from your past. You've been deeply hurt. There's all kinds of things that can be involved with that. I mean, I was just having a conversation with someone recently about whether we should be friends with benefits or whether we should you know, get into a relationship. And I was stammering like a bloody idiot. I couldn't even communicate. So, yeah, it's really important to be able to talk openly. And if you can't, then you need to sort of look at what's going on with your heart, with your mind, with your body. And, of course, you know, talking about it can also save your life. So important that we all learn how to talk about sex, even in our culture, in a culture, if you're in that kind of sort of ethnicity or culture where it's a major handicap to talk about sex, you can't talk about it. Start simply. Practice talking with your friends. You know, if you've got questions or concerns about sexual anatomy, you might find it embarrassing, sort of do some research. Practice talking about it in front of a mirror if you have to. Talk about it with your friends. Practice doing that before you have to have the conversation with your partner. But very important that we learn to do it. Journal. I don't know. God, I get my learners to actually have these very awkward conversations with you know, a pretend partner and role play this stuff, and I force them to do it in class because yeah, it can be so awkward, and we don't get a chance to really do it before we're actually in the hot seat. So anyway, yeah, number three. Caroline and I actually laugh about this a lot. Living in the real world. I mean, honestly, and the drama thing I'm going to get to next. So break your drama addictions and living in the real world. Very important points, because honesty, like a lot of things, starts at home. So in other words, with yourself. And sex can be sort of a minefield when it comes to game playing, delusions, manipulations. Even when no one intends any of those things, it's a minefield. It really is. So being willing and able to be honest about your sexuality is sort of your biggest asset when it comes to being happy and healthy and whole in this regard. So I had to put that in. Being willing, for example, to take a really good deep look at what you want, what you need, and to make choices sort of based on the real deal when it comes to these things. So, for example, if you know that you're not entirely sure about a sexual partner in terms of sort of furthering your activity with them, sort of don't shove that feeling into the closet for fear of losing them, for example, if you don't agree to what they want. So, you know, that's a really important thing. And I do give this exercise to people and say, you know, try to practice being honest. If you're questioning your sexual orientation, for example, if you think you might be bisexual or whatever, or homosexual, make a list of what scares you about talking about it, and then what the negative outcomes of what that honesty might be. So even, you know, in my last juice box salon, I was telling people, make a list, write down what's the worst case scenario of what might happen in the conversation, and then try to practice sort of dealing with those issues that person might have with your honesty, with whatever you might be talking about, whatever you're asking for or communicating. Try to sort of help. It helps to dissipate some of the fears and some of the issues. It's a really good exercise to do. And then the drama. I think people, you know, they have these drama addictions. God knows I know I have. So it's like you got to try to break that stuff, you know. Yeah, because people kind of confuse drama with love. They confuse it with affection. They confuse it with real connection. And the higher the level of drama gets, you know, whether it's parents, friends, partners disliking somebody, or somebody promising you marriage, or there's a profound age difference between you and your partner, or whatever, if you've had emotional or physical abuse, the more that we kind of get into this dramatic thing, you know, this feeling, this love or this passion or this, we interpret it as something bigger than it is or whatever. These emotional stakes are raised, the tension's elevated, and people get very addicted to this. And it's not necessarily unreasonable to think about the drama stuff, because writers use it. People write about, like, they make music, movies. We watch it on TV all the time. You know, this drama kind of keeps couples together sometimes, but it's not actually real love. It's not like real bonding and intimacy that can actually last for your lifetime. So I think it's important to sort of see it for what it is, and know that it's like not necessarily reality. It's not really the best test of love. It's sort of, it might feel like love, but love, I think, real love is that you actually feel it when it's at its quietest and its calmest and there's nothing going on to be talking about, but you still feel a lot of love. I think that's the best test. Not when it's at its loudest and its most tumultuous. So, and it's hard for me to speak about that because I'm kind of a drama queen. So, yeah. Let me see. I've only got to five. I've got five more to go. And I've got 10 minutes. All right. So, number five in the top ten things to keep you sexually healthy over your lifetime. Be a smarty pants. So, let's be honest. There's very few of us, whether we're 15 or whether we're 65, that can be truly objective when we're sort of head over heels in love or in lust. So it's a bit of a given that when you're making sexual choices, we can kind of rest assured that our judgment is bound to be a little colored. It's bound to be a little crazy. You know, having this crush, that kind of thing. It's very heady stuff. It's very kind of tumultuous, crazy stuff, which is why I was talking about the drama part before. And that's why for a lot of us it feels so nice. I mean, you know, it's kind of this new relationship energy, and it's great stuff, and it feels fantastic, and it should. But it can do quite a number on kind of your analytical, your critical thinking, your rationality. So it's important to recognize that you're in that space and to try to be smart about it. And, yeah, so really sound judgment. If you've got body issues, self-image issues, for example, or feeling pressured to be sexually active or whatever, you know, look at those things, try to be rational about them. What else? I mean, you don't lose your life when you're in a relationship, so try to keep kind of a balance about, you know, keeping up your platonic friendships, your family relationships, quality time with yourself. When you're in that infatuation stage, try to kind of keep the rational mind, try to keep one foot on the ground. Really important to being sexually healthy. I think, let me see. What? Wait a minute here now. There's some stuff here I want to get at. This BDSM scene. So, let me see. Somebody wants to ask, so for, you're in a relationship with somebody for a long term, and or whatever. You've been with them for a few months, a few years, 10 years, doesn't matter. They want to get into something different. They want to start doing, like, open up the relationship. They want to get into the BDSM scene. They want to start having anal sex. Whatever it is, you're kind of unsure about it. Again, being smart about it, being rational about it. Know that you can take your time. You don't have to sort of say, okay, I agree to it right now. You can say to your partner, you know, I need some time to think about this. That's totally agreeable and a good advice and a rational way to deal with it. So take your time thinking about these things. If you need to talk to your friends and stuff about it, really good idea. How do you feel? Balance your sort of pros and cons in your mind, all those things. Now, the next thing I want to get to here quickly is around our body image issues. So around being sexually healthy, I think one of the key things that gets in the way of us enjoying ourselves, and I did mention this at the last salon in case you missed it, is around loving your body. Like really, you know, we live in a culture that's obsessed with appearances. Messages sent to us all the time about how we're supposed to look and how we sort of look to the opposite sex or whatever. And honestly, these washboard abdominals, these tight bums, these thighs, whatever, people are actually getting sick. People are getting really sick in the mind and sick in the heart about all this stuff. And I think it's really sad. And I think it's really getting in the way of us enjoying our sexual selves, of us enjoying our whole lives, really. But it definitely comes out in our sexual expression. And how we feel and just sort of like we walk into a room and just sort of our confidence and when, of course, when we're naked with our partner, you know, or whatever. We just want to hide ourselves and we're not really getting the full benefit of how you could be living physically healthy, sexually healthy, emotionally healthy. So I think it's important to take care of your body, give it healthy food, the rest it needs, the activity it needs, healthcare, et cetera. But it's like, don't be obsessive, you know. Fad diet, starvation, whatever, like obsessively exercising, these things are not going to help you. Like you have to sort of find a way to balance yourself in a way that you won't be kind of, hi, hi, Annie. Hi, honey, you're home.
Hi,
Yeah. What's for dinner? Oh, that'd be good, actually. I'm hungry. You can feed me. So, yeah, that around being healthy, I think it's so important that we get beyond this aesthetic that we all think we're supposed to be, you know, keeping up with. It really affects your self-esteem. It really affects your sexual life. So I think we should start a revolution and sort of quit this crap that's been bombarding us forever and affecting so many of us with how we feel about ourselves. Anyway, five more minutes. I'm doing well. So number 7 out of 10 ways to be sexually healthy, I think honoring your feelings. I think I talked a little bit about that in the first half, but, you know, knowing your limits, knowing your boundaries, honoring how you feel, you know, in the moment. If you've just gotten off and your partner's like, well, what about me? And you're like, you know, I really just need to cuddle and relax kind of thing. I'll get you back next time. And feeling okay about that, those kind of things, whatever it might be. Important to do that. So, and then number 8 was don't try and use sexual identity as your whole identity. And let me tell you, that was a big problem for me in my life. Being kind of obviously as a sex educator now, I was totally obsessed, and I felt like that was everything to me and sort of why I started studying it 10 years ago. And in the last 10 years, I've finally found a balance to that it isn't my entire identity and it isn't all that I am. And so, for those of you listening out there, you're listening to the show, you're probably really involved with sex. You probably like it. You probably think about it a lot. You're maybe a little bit over-identified with your sexual self. So it is an integral part of who we are, for sure. But don't compare, you know, yourself and everything in your life to what you're doing in your sex life and what you are sexually or not or whatever. Number 9 is become a sexpert. Now, I know I talked about being smart, but I actually... Here I'm talking really about getting educated. So reading all the books you need to read beyond sort of how to put tab A into slot B, that's important. But really, it's like, you know, those of us who didn't have the joy of sex given to us at 7 like I was, you know, dig in, educate yourself, hit the library, please do whatever it takes to look at Juicebox Radio. There's a lot of good resources there. Websites and books that you can trust to educate yourself about your sex, about your sexuality. Really important to do that before you kind of get involved, but also if you're sort of just trying out new things and questioning what's going on, and if you have a pregnancy scare or you've acquired an STI or whatever is might be happening, just make sure that you are educated. And the last one, the biggest, most important, I think, enjoy yourself. So don't forget that sort of sex and sexuality is supposed to be pleasurable, and it's supposed to bring you joy. It's supposed to bring kind of enrich your life. And so for so many of us, I think we have a lot of hang-ups. We have a lot of issues, and so we're kind of, the enjoyment's kind of left us for some reason. And so want to leave you with that note that your sexuality is yours to have, yours to explore, enjoy. Do it by yourself, whatever it is. You know what? Feel naughty if you want to, whatever. Whatever you need to do, like, enjoy. If you're with your partner, ask for what you want. Make sure you get it. I'm sure if you keep pushing and pushing yourself, pushing your partner, you will have the sex life that you're looking for, that you want, that you've always dreamed about. So, and have joy. So really, summing it up here in the last 2 minutes, I'd say... Be your own first partner. Masturbation, really important. Learn to talk openly about it. Be honest. Be real about it. Ditch the drama. Use your best judgment, like I mentioned. Respect your body and yourself. Love your body. Honor your feelings, even when your feelings kind of suck and you feel weird about them. Honor them anyway. Be your whole self, not just your sexual self. Further your sex education and enjoy yourself. So... That is Julia's top 10. Here she is all by herself doing the show. Some books I recommend, The Sex for One, definitely Betty Dodson, Gotta love her. Saw her talk not long ago. She's so amazing. Sex for One, The Joy of Self-Loving, very important. There's also Sex for Two. She's a very good author. Our Bodies, Ourselves, there's a new edition for a new era, very good. There's The Whole Lesbian Sex Book, a really good book, and The Joy of Gay Sex. They're both excellent books for homosexuality, people sort of exploring all that. And then also SEX, Spelling Out All You Need to Know About Your Sexuality for the Younger Set as well, by Heather Carina. Very good book. So anyway, hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Caroline and I are going to be back next week for sure with another fresh and lively juice box. Probably more lively than tonight. In the meantime, email me if you've got questions, concerns, or some show topics you'd like to hear us talk about. Please do that at julia@juiceboxradio.com. So stay tuned for Hans Claus's Misery Hour with Marianne coming up next on CITR. I'd say he's a very sexy man to be miserable with. So thanks for listening to Juice Box Radio. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult good audiences. One.
Sorry, everybody. We're doing this one. Bye. You just experienced Juice Box Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune in.